Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away.
Parliament's back on Tuesday after a week's break, during which all the Select Committee action was in Auckland. Members of the Local Government and Environment Committee heard submissions on the proposed amendment to the Local Government Act at the Ellerslie Event Centre on Wednesday and Thursday. And on Tuesday, the Commerce Committee was at the Ellerslie Novotel for submissions on the Members' Bill from Te Uruwa Flavel of the Maori Party, aimed at reducing harm from playing the pokies. Rhys Lyon took a punt on that one.
The Grassroots Trust, which collects and distributes funds from gaming machines, was taken to task by Green MP Denise Roche, who insisted it was their dodgy bookkeeping that had brought the entire gaming trust industry into disrepute. But Grassroots Managing Director Tim Wood wanted to set the record straight.
In 2009, 3 years ago, the trust failed to return its required amount to the community. The trust couldn't return its 37.12% to the community, which is a statutory minimum requirement. Still returned 34%, close to, $4.8 million in total, but yes, it was short.
Tim Wood said Grassroots Trust had served its punishment, but it was the community who had really lost out.
One of the things that I guess is disappointing, and a point you raised, is the length of time that it takes to resolve these matters. Two financial years have passed for Grassroots Trust since those issues arose. It cost the community in grants about $250,000.
Grassroots Managing Director Tim Wood. And a quick look back to the previous week's submission and the Gambling Harm Reduction Bill's author, Te Uruwa Flavel, who outlined some measures he felt would curb problem gambling.
We are looking to insist that venues introduce gambler player tracking systems which measure losses and pre-commit cards which allows players to preset the time and the money that they gamble.
But this week, the Four Winds Foundation's General Manager, Gillian Wells, didn't think that that would be effective.
The player tracking proposal, we feel, is probably already outdated. There would be far more effective technologies available that could be explored.
Ms. Wells suggested a self-help method instead.
Player exclusion forms, we feel, help the people themselves to take ownership of the problem, and we feel that that is a good thing. Rather than being passive about it, they're actually encouraged to make the effort themselves.
Also opposed to that part of the bill was the Royal New Zealand Coast Guard's Chief Executive, Patrick Holmes.
We're supportive of initiatives that help gamblers manage their gambling behaviour, but they're concerned that compulsory pre-commitment cards and player tracking devices may actually discourage people from putting $2 into a machine who do not have a problem with gambling and therefore affect our funding, our core funding.
Back to Te Uruwa Flavel.
Ensuring that 80% of the gambling proceeds return to the community where the money was lost.
But that was opposed by Northern Surf Life Savings Chief Executive Pam Elgar.
The reason for this is a number of our clubs are actually situated in isolated communities and they currently benefit from proceeds that are broader than their own community. So I would love more money to go into smaller communities where the harms occurred. I'd really love that. That would be fantastic. But we also want to provide the service out on the beaches where all those people can actually still go because it's a free service.
And as outlined by Mr. Flavel, the bill seeks to crack down on dodgy gaming trusts.
And phases out the corporate societies which distribute pokie earnings and suggests that local bodies takes up that role.
That was welcomed this week by Family First Director Bob McCoskrey.
We think there is an issue. There's a conflict of interest where the people raising the money have control over where it goes, and that's caused issues. So we do support local councils taking control of that. They'll be demanded to be more accountable. There'll be OIAs, etc. Whereas we haven't got that same control over what some of the gaming trusts have been doing and getting away with for so long.
Though overhauling how gaming funds were redistributed to the community wasn't ideal, according to Portage and Waitakere Trust's Chief Executive, Simon Whitcliffe.
If you do that, you're essentially ousting, in some cases, trustees that have got over 20 years' experience in dealing with funding in our region, that understand which bodies have been funded in the past, that build up a history of experience about where that funding's gone, whether it's been well used or not. So they're very close to it, much closer than anybody else.
Portage and Waitakere Trust's Chief Executive, Simon Whitcliffe, making a submission on the Gambling Harm Reduction Bill to the Commerce Select Committee, which will report the bill back to the House by November 9.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Parliament resumes at 2 on Tuesday, beginning as usual with question time, before going to work on government bills as determined by the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 11th of September, the government will look to complete a number of first, second and third readings on the order paper, including the Biosecurity Law Reform Bill, the Patents Bill and the Land Transport Management Amendment Bill.
Till next week then, I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.